That's simply not true.
What you'll find is that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to actually, as Jesus explained it in Matthew, is actually to see God working and then to say that instead of God working, it's the devil. This is a very rare sin. You know, a lot of Christians are fearful that they've committed it. However, it's kind of rare. In biblical history, the documentation in biblical history tells us that the Jews in the time of Christ committed this sin when they rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That the Pharisees and Sadducees even went as far as to, after in John 11, when Lazarus had been raised from the dead, they tried to kill him. And they said that Jesus's power came from the devil and not from God. So this is what blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is. And I think Dave has a comment on that.
Yeah, interestingly, this does have an application to tonight's subject, because only God can be blasphemed. So if you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that shows the Holy Spirit is God.
Yes, that's right. Exactly so.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right, exactly so. Because, yeah, and it proves the deity of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God. All right, thank you very much. Is that the only question you have tonight?
Yes.
Well, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, very good. We have a lot of callers that are calling. Dave, interested in this subject, 838-0370, the number to call. We have one open line, and we're going to take another caller right now. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Gerald, and I have a question about, I had talked with a Jehovah's Witness, and he had brought up a scripture, and I don't remember right now, but in that scripture, it has said that, when he was talking to, when Jesus had, I think he was talking to Mary, and he had told her, I'm going back to my Father just as he is your Father, and I will go to sit on the right hand of him. And he was saying that, Jehovah's Witness was saying, that proves that Jesus is the Son of God and not God himself.
Okay.
And I was, in a way, I was stumped at that time because, see, I feel I'm still a baby in the Lord. Now I'm just, and a lot of things have been coming in my way, and I've been putting them to the side because messages I got real strong from Pastor Bogle a few days ago just opened my eyes up, and it just brought everything to light. And, and right now I'm just, you know, trying to strengthen myself, and my spirit's been quickened by this message.
Well, we praise the Lord, and thank you for that testimony. And we're going to have Dave comment on this subject of the Son of God and the deity of Christ. So you listen in, all right?
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
What about that, Dave, this reference that he has in Scripture and how the Jehovah's Witnesses use the title Son of God to prove that Jesus is not God?
Okay, this is an old tactic, this business of he's the Son, therefore he's not God. I'd like to turn to John 5, 17 and 18. Or, yeah, 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a matter of Jewish culture that we don't understand today. For him to say that God was his Father, it was in a specific sense. If you heard the word Abba, it was like saying Daddy in Aramaic. And it was a claim of equality with God. That's why the Jews attempted to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The grounds in their mind were blasphemy. He was claiming to be God, and it says clearly right in Scripture. So that's a verse you can use to counteract that.
All right. So their understanding of that term, Son of God, is that Jesus was making himself equal to God. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. had some callers who weren't able to get on the air with some, so they called the off-the-air counselors. So we want to give you a question from the off-the-air counselors as well. We've got a lot of callers calling in tonight. So we want you to hang on. Those of you who are still on the line, we're going to get to you. This person who called in said that the Jehovah's Witnesses said that when you die, that heaven will be here on earth. What is their eschatology, their prophetic view? Where does this come from, where their vision of an earthly kingdom?
Okay, originally their teaching was that only 144,000 would go to heaven. A lot of people are familiar with that, I'm sure. Now, there is a problem with that. They assumed they would reach that number and just go to heaven and the world would end. However, they surpassed that number by 1931. So this required a change in their eschatology. So what they did was they developed what's known as the Great Crowd. They came up with two classes of people in the afterlife. The Great Crowd would be on the earth, and that's what they call the New World or Paradise Earth. But this is not a biblical distinction. Mm-hmm. In fact, the 144,000 are Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, as stated in Revelation 7, 4 through 8. And Revelation 14, 4 tells us that they're all unmarried virgin men. So I don't think that's the case with Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right.
They have to do their homework a little better there.
Right, it wouldn't fit them at all. I guess one of the troubles is, Dave, that they, like you were saying, they expected the 144,000 to go to heaven after that number was reached.
Yes.
They had a lot of prophecies concerning when the world would come to an end and when Jesus would come back that never were fulfilled, of course, never took place. And that's one of the difficulties you're saying they got into.
Yeah. Mm. So that they constantly have to correct their own mistakes because they're proven wrong by history, such as Jesus not coming back in 1914, or they claimed he came invisibly. They thought the kingdom of God would come on the earth, and it didn't. So they had to lie to correct that mistake by saying that Russell predicted World War I, but it's all rationalizing.
All right. Thank you very much. Get another caller. You're on the air.
Well, how you doing?
Real fine. How are you?
All right. And your guest name is?
Dave Armstrong.
How you doing, Mr. Armstrong? One discrepancy that I find in the Jehovah's Witness doctrine, I would like Mr. Armstrong to comment on this, is that even though it's true that we should know what we believe and why we believe it, but the problem with the Jehovah's Witness in attacking the Trinity, I have found, is that they really don't know what the Trinity teach themselves.
That's true.
They say, concerning the Trinity, is that we say that Jesus and God is the same person. And if you listen to that, that's a discrepancy. And I would like Mr. Armstrong to comment on that, because we don't say Jesus and God is the same person. That's a discrepancy. And so I would like Mr. Armstrong to comment on that.
All right, we sure will, and you listen in.
Okay.
And I think, unfortunately for our caller, that we are saying that Jesus is God. We need to be clear on that. We acknowledge the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is God. I'm trying to think of the way it was put in Bible school, just to help us understand it, because it is kind of difficult to understand for us. But that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the same in substance but different in person. Dave, would you comment on that for us?
I'm not. Well, they don't understand a number of things. I'm not sure. I haven't heard this too often from them. They usually put it that we believe three gods in one, or that there are three gods, rather than one God in three persons. For instance, here's a quote. This is from their book, Let God Be True, 1946. The doctrine in brief is that there are three gods in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all three equal in power, substance, and eternity. Now, the last part of that is true, it's the first sentence that it isn't true. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God,
mm-hmm.
who is manifested in three persons.
Right,
they're
exactly.
all equal.
Exactly right.
And what the quote that I stated is what I understand. It's what I usually hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where to go from there.
Okay, good enough. Thank you very much. And that was a quote, of course. Right from the Kingdom of the Cults. Are there some books? I see that you have Kingdom of the Cults here, which is a classic work. And anyone who's been studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses or approached by a Mormon or another cult group should really read that book. Are there some others maybe that would help someone to gain a better understanding of cultic teaching?
Well, one I recommend if someone's just starting to study Jehovah's Witnesses, it's called How to Answer a Jehovah's Witness by Robert Morey, M-O-R-E-Y. And it has photocopies of a lot of their false prophecies. His perspective is that if you undermine their confidence in the group, then that would open the door to discuss doctrine. They have a blind allegiance to their leaders. So they must be shown that these people have been deceptive. And I would recommend that book. And also Jehovah of the Watchtower by Walter Martin as well.
Because the key thing for us is to, we want to win people to Jesus Christ. And I think it's very good what you're saying. You know, very often Christians that are ill-prepared will attack the person. In reality, the thing to do is to attack, if you're going to attack anything, would be the false doctrine and the Watchtower Society rather than a person, you know. And this is what I hear a lot, that Christians argue, and a lot of times we argue because we don't have facts. You know, that's how it is. And we start telling people they're going to hell. You know, we're in trouble then.
Yeah.
But if we would stick to the facts and talk about the group rather than a person that is before you, and as you say, show them the errors of Watchtower, we might make some headway. So those are some good books that you recommend. And you say, of course, you would recommend Kingdom of the Cults as well, wouldn't you?
Yes, Kingdom of the Cults. That's in any Christian bookstore. It runs about $12.95 usually. It's mm-hmm. a huge book, hardcover.
And, you know, the information that you have, though, in the Jehovah's Witness Witnessing Manual, 86 pages, kind of small print, too.
Yeah, but...
But just packed full of information that you're giving for just $5, which surely is just a donation. So, and I would recommend that also. Dave's material is just dealing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so please, if you're interested in that, just write the Christian Worldview Association. That's the Christian Worldview Association, Box 5605, Dearborn, Michigan, 48128. The Jehovah's Witness Witnessing Manual, and should be a real blessing, full of information. I was just looking at some of his pages, and real good research, real good scholarly work done on this particular group.
And it's designed specifically for the purpose of speaking to them and answering their proof texts that they think prove their doctrines.
All right. Maybe his question is concerning how did these doctrines, you know, I've been asked that a lot in Bible study. You know, when you start talking about some of these things.
Yeah.
For instance, when I ask, when I am teaching on the Mormons, and I explain that, you know, Joseph Smith believes that God was Adam, you know, in the Garden of Eden, and that Joseph Smith had 86 wives, people say, well, where did he get this stuff from? And with the Jehovah's Witnesses as well, how did they come up with the doctrine that denied the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ? How would you say, in your opinion, what... why would they derive these kinds of teachings?
That's a good one. Especially at this hour in the morning. I'm not sure that particular doctrine about the resurrection. Or...
Yeah, and there's a number of them. You know, his basic question is, where did they go off? Where did Russell go off in his teaching? Could you give us a little historical background? It's a hard question to ask because there may not be clear documentation on that, and I understand, but what would you say? Why did he take the course that he took in some of these eras?
Well, there were a lot of heresies in the 19th century the rise of liberalism, I would say theological liberalism. We know some of his influences. One man's name was George Storrs, S-T-O-R-R-S,
mm-hmm.
former Methodist minister. Now, I'm not criticizing Methodists, and I'll get off on that. He believed in soul sleep, annihilationism, mm. and he believed in a partial works atonement of Christ, which says that Jesus only canceled Adam's sin. He doesn't save us totally by his blood. We still have to do works to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I couldn't tell you where those doctrines came from. I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to the early centuries.
But it's very interesting that, you know, what you're saying, that in many cases a cult leader will twist doctrines that come from an Orthodox group.
Yes.
Like Methodist or Presbyterian, or will take doctrines and literally twist them, take the truth and twist it and turn it into falsehood. And right, you know, we know that the Methodists are a Christian group, an
yes.
Orthodox group. Just as you mentioned, his influence, as he was influenced by the Seventh-day Adventists, which are also a Christian group, but taking doctrines and twisting them into something that is not Christian. And so that is, that's what happens in the, and that is what you mean, I guess, in your beginning definition when you said a Christian cult, because they would take the truth of Christianity and warp it and come up with something that is different.
There might be some relation to ancient Gnosticism in this notion that the body was bad, because Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus was, he wasn't even resurrected, he was actually recreated, according to them.
Right, that's right.
And he no longer has a body, and now he's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an assumption that spirit is a superior state to body.
Okay.
So Jesus...
So Gnosticism could be the origin, yeah.
That may be. I really don't know all the answers to that.
Well, that's good. That's a good beginning for
we'll
us.
We'll let you do your homework.
Dave's going to put me on the spot now. 838-0370, the number to call. This is Evangel Echoes Prayer Line, WMUZ 103.5 on the FM dial. This has been Pastor Moss with you.
The subject's come up about kind of the implication is why do we talk about other groups and so forth. I'd like to read a quote by Walter Martin, the late Dr. Martin, author of Kingdom of the Cults. He says about Jehovah's Witnesses, quote, "Must we stand by in silence while the word of God is defamed, the lordship of Christ blasphemed, and the faith of generations still unborn is threatened by a group of people who will not listen to honest biblical truth and dare not contest them in scholastic discussion? Information in the form of documentary evidence and cold facts has met and can meet their perversions and emerge triumphant over them. We as Christians must perform this task without delay. We can ill afford to wait any longer." That's from page 113. That's part of why I do what I do.
Well, brother, that's very good, very good. And coming from Walter Martin, such a valiant fighter himself and cult expert as yourself, you know, I was thinking, I turned to a passage of scripture as well here in Jude at verse 3. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And ultimately, we will be, all of those who serve the Lord will be dwelling with him in a new heaven and a new earth. But that still is quite different from the Jehovah Witnesses' conception of it. I wish we had more time. I am teaching a study on the Book of Revelation Sunday night at 7 p.m. at Evangel Central Church, and invite you to come where we can talk about this in more detail. So there is, Christians, Orthodox Christianity is not opposed to a newly created earth and Christians and newly created bodies dwelling in that situation, but it's not like the Jehovah's Witnesses would teach. All right, Dave, you have anything on that?
I would add Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Clearly implies this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, basic Christian doctrine. We're all going to heaven. We're not going to be on some new earth. The new heaven and earth are one and the same.
Are one and the same.
So it's just said.
Yeah, so actually, the Bible here in Revelations 21 and 1 is just describing it, but actually what's being talked about here is heaven.
Yes.
All right, very good.
Bye.
Yeah, and that's a real trouble that many are having, even Christians, with understanding, Dave, the difference between the old covenant and the new. They understand that some things have been changed, but when it comes down to the Sabbath day, and you know, a lot of people have a real, and because of the fact that some Christians haven't moved beyond that particular teaching.
Yeah, I think the problem becomes, how much of the law do you retain? And if you don't retain it all, what is the method by which you determine what stays and what goes?
So
it's a difficult problem.
Yes, it is difficult. All right, Dave, it's been great having you with us, and we've still got callers that are waiting to come on and talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses. We may have a few minutes left. I'm going to see now if Pastor Bogle is ready. Usually I can kind of hear him. It's like he's above me, I think, sometimes. But he, of course, broadcasts from his home. And I'll check right now and see. Pastor Bogle?
Yes, how you doing there?
Doing just great, Pastor. We've been having a wonderful time here, me and Brother Armstrong, and a lot of callers, and just been real nice.
Well, that's great. Just good to see the Lord doing a work of foundation truth that gives people confidence in the word of the Lord, and expresses it in a way that people can be kind of comfortable. It's good to know that we can divide the word of God rightly. It's good to hear it going on tonight. And it's just good to be a part of the program, too.
Yeah, it's been really a good program.
Well, we thank the Lord for it.